You're listening to the Locked On Broncos podcast, hosted by Cody Rourke, your daily Broncos podcast.
What's up, Broncos country? Welcome back in to a very special Friday episode. Wherever you're at, all across Broncos country, from the South Stands to the end zone, you are Locked On Broncos, your daily Denver Broncos podcast here on the Locked On NFL Network, your team every day. I'm your host, as always, Cody Work, senior NFL analyst for Pro Football Network and Broncos insider for the Locked On NFL Network. You guys can follow me on Twitter at Cody Work NFL. You can follow the podcast at Locked On Broncos. Like us on Facebook as well. And be sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Google Podcasts, and Spotify for daily exclusive Denver Broncos news, content, and coverage all year long, all season long. We got you guys covered over here today. Obviously, ladies and gentlemen, the playoffs continue here this weekend, and I'm going to be joined a little bit later on in the show by Zach Seegers. We're going to discuss the AFC and the NFC divisional matchups, give our own kind of perspectives on it. Obviously, wishing and hoping, I know a lot of Broncos fans were hoping that Denver is in the mix this year. Obviously, that was not the case, but there's a lot of optimism about maybe Denver potentially getting back to a position of being in the playoff picture, in the playoff conversation, after the new hire of George Payton as the team's next general manager. And to start things off on today's episode of the show, folks, we're going to get into a conversation. I asked Broncos country, I wanted to gauge the vibe of the fan base on what their thoughts were on George Payton being hired as the team's next general manager after signing a six-year deal yesterday, coming over from the Minnesota Vikings. Obviously, we're going to hear from Rick Spielman as well, the general manager of the Minnesota Vikings, on what it was like working with George Payton, what the Broncos are going to be getting. We're going to hear a little bit of that. We're going to get some fan reaction as well. But first, we're going to take the Rick Spielman of the Minnesota Vikings and his thoughts on George Payton.
Denver, to me, got an incredible, not only talent evaluator, but an incredible person and what he stands for. Me and George started together back in, I believe, 1997, 1998, when he was an intern in Chicago and I was the pro director. And when I left to go to Miami, it took me a year, but I eventually got him down to Miami with me. And then when I had the opportunity to come up here to Minnesota, there was no question he was the number one person that I had to have on my staff. And took me a year, but a year after I got here, I was able to get him to Minnesota.
And George Stoya of the Gazette, I think, put out a phenomenal article on George Payton, the fact that he was spending time in Chicago. I mean, sleeping on couches, sleeping in hotels. Obviously, when you're paid as a scout, it's a starting job. You're not getting paid much. And if you're going to be a scout, you're never going to be paid much in the NFL. And really, a lot of these GMs, eventually, when they transition, they get all this experience in the NFL, they eventually work their way up into some more primitive front office roles. And George Payton has put in the groundwork, and he still loves scouting to the very minute detail of going to games, being very active in scouting players. And he even said it in his press release that he released yesterday after the announcement of the hire, is that they're going to be aggressive but not reckless, and they're going to believe in drafting and developing players. This is very important for a Broncos football team that is very young and has the potential, I think, to be very special. But what else did Spielman have to say about George Payton? Well, obviously, in terms of the fact in the history that Payton has had so many interviews over the course of the years, but has never really accepted one because he's been very selective of the job. Denver apparently is the right fit for him.
I know he's been more than prepared even before he finally took this opportunity. He could have been a GM, you know, anytime in some of those interviews, but I know how selective he's been on making sure that it was the right fit. And there was no question when he called me, and I knew that the Denver Broncos was finally the right fit for George Payton.
And Payton's not going to waste any time. He's going to be getting to work tomorrow, as he's going to meet with Broncos front office personnel, and he's going to interview several people, because these new people coming in, obviously with George Payton as the GM, they have to interview to keep their jobs. George Payton could look at bringing in some help from around the league. Obviously, people that he knows, he could possibly do that. That's always on the table there. But he's going to get started tomorrow at the UC Health Training Center for this process of getting the Broncos back into winning ways. But I asked asked Broncos country what their thoughts were, where they felt on a scale of 1 to 10 about the hiring. There's some negative spin out there from a small group of people that listen to a certain station in Denver, and I'm telling you guys, unsubscribe from that negativity cycle of what goes on. George Payton has received so much high praise and respect from national media members, from other NFL executives for other football teams, from the NFL front office, and from various players who have played under regime in Minnesota when George Payton was there. Sage Rosenfels gave a very resounding stamp of approval as well, because he spent time in the organization also as media. And George Payton's the guy that puts the work in as a scout and the personnel side of things. He believes in developing and building rosters. He said that's going to be a key emphasis in his time as a Denver Bronco. Obviously, for 6 years, that's what we're going to see with George Payton. So let the process play out, Broncos country. The Broncos may not win right away. It may take them 2 to 3 more years to do it, but it's all part of the process. This is really where the Broncos begin their true rebuild, because John Elway, he's fading off into the sunset. This is now George Payton's team and the way that he evaluates going forward this roster, the personnel, the coaches, and the decisions that are made ultimately to put the Broncos back on a winning track where they need to be. So I'm going to get to a couple responses here from Broncos country, and we're going to see right here. Polish Filipino says 9 out of 10. That's where he ranks it on his level of excitement on where he's at. He says, seemed like one of the best guys available with a strong resume. Definitely not someone that could be interpreted as a yes man to Elway. Looking forward to a fresh perspective on how to turn this organization around. And that's also another narrative that's been pumped out there, is that the Broncos, they hired a yes man. George Payton is far from a yes man. I mean, obviously you guys heard from Rick Spielman, who has so much to say in terms of the fact when they first started working together, when Payton was a scout, was the fact that he would put in the work. And when he got the job in Minnesota, Spielman as the GM, he had to have him as his right hand man, and that's exactly what it was. And he's been up for interviews so many times, and he's decided that it has to be the right fit, and he chose Denver. With where Denver is at right now, the promising young roster, I think that there's a lot to be excited about, Broncos country. You guys should definitely, I'd say you can be cautious, absolutely. I would be very disturbed if nobody was cautious about any type of move that happens, but you can also be cautious and excited at the same exact time. But let the process play out, because this could be a 2 to 3 year process where we see Denver. Now, if the offensive talent is there, and if the offense can find a way to accelerate, things could be exciting in Denver, folks. And look, if Vic Fangio's defense is playing really well, depending on the pieces that they add and the pieces that they bring back, Denver might have a chance to make some noise next year. But obviously, I think we're way too far out right now to be able to discuss that. So obviously, it's going to be another conversation for another day. Payton will be introduced on Tuesday in an introductory press conference. We'll have you guys covered here on Lockdown Broncos with the recap and our own thoughts as to what George Payton said in his presser. So look for that on Tuesday or Wednesday's episode of Lockdown Broncos. But Broncos country, coming up here in just a moment, I'm going to be joined by my good friend Zach Seegers of Pro Football Network, and we are going to talk the NFL Divisional Playoffs, the AFC versus the NFC. We're going to talk about some of the biggest matchups, and we're also going to break it down from our own perspective as well, coming up here in just a moment. But before we do that, folks, I got to tell you guys to check out the sponsor of today's episode, Locked On Broncos. That is our good friends over there at Built Bar, and Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever, folks. I received a box of 18 flavors, and I tell you what, I love them all. But right now, listen, you hear that wrapper noise right there? That right there is my caramel brownie. I cannot wait to take a bite into it. I'm about to do it after I do this podcast, so you don't hear me chewing while I'm talking on the podcast here. But also, I want you guys to check out Built Bar, because the new and improved Built Bar is even more delicious than ever before, including 18 amazing flavors, like I mentioned, including nut and non-nut flavors. Right now, I've got the caramel brownie Built Bar right in front of me. I can't wait to tear into it after this episode of Lockdown Broncos. But also, I like the 12 original flavors as well, like salted caramel. I also like peanut butter and peanut butter brownie. The bars are covered in 100% chocolate, and they're soft and easy to chew. And Built Bars are healthy, folks. They're great for those who are health conscious like myself. They help you lose or maintain weight while also indulging in a delicious treat, because the bars, they are low calorie, they're low sugar, they're high protein, and high in fiber, folks. And that's why I rock with Built Bar. And you can get a free cooler with purchase today only while supplies last by going to BuiltBar.com and use promo code LOCKEDON, and you will get 20% off your next order. Use promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Get yourself a box of all the 18 flavors sent directly to your doorstep with promo code LOCKEDON for 20% off at BuiltBar.com. Ladies and gentlemen, the NFL playoffs, they continue this week. And Saturday and Sunday, we have a slate of games. We have the NFC and the AFC divisional playoffs. But first, we're going to set our focus on the AFC divisional playoffs this weekend. And to break down the action, to talk about some of these games, I'm joined by Zach Seegers of Pro Football Network and Mile High Sports to talk about it. Zach, obviously, thank you so much for joining me here today. A little bit earlier on the show, we had talked about Rick Spielman and his thoughts on the Broncos' new GM, George Payton. Obviously, we're going to find a little bit more out when the introductory press conference happens on Tuesday. But look, we got some playoff football coming up, and I know a lot of Broncos fans are bummed that Denver is not in it. However, if you love football, it's hard to pass up some of the action that we have here this weekend.
Yeah, I mean, the slate is just awesome. I don't think there's a weak game in the bunch. Even if Vegas feels differently, I think all these games could be great, and I think you can make a compelling argument for the underdog to win all of them. And that's what you want in playoff football. You want every game to be great. You don't want, you know, the Saints-Bears matchup that feel like you know, they're decided before the kickoff even happens. So you've got a great slate of games this weekend. And Broncos country should be excited. I mean, you get to watch some good, fun football. Sucks the Broncos aren't in it, of course. But then you also just hit a freaking grand slam with the GM hire. And that'll determine the future direction of this team. So a good week for Broncos country.
It is. But now let's get into our AFC divisional playoff matchups. And I tell you what, Saturday, the Baltimore Ravens are going to travel to Buffalo in a potential snow game. I mean, there's some potential snow in the forecast here. They're going to take on Josh Allen and the Buffalo Bills. And we know that both these teams, they had victories last week in wild card week in the Bills over the Indianapolis Colts in a very close game, 27-24. The Baltimore Ravens sneaking one out against the Tennessee Titans, and really just kind of the bigger surprise. More so, I had mentioned, I was really disappointed with how Seattle and with how Tennessee played in the wild card round. I didn't feel like those two teams really showed up. But, you know, not to discredit Baltimore, they did a great job stopping Derrick Henry. But now we have a matchup between Baltimore, last year's MVP, Lamar Jackson, against one of the MVP candidates this year and Josh Allen. You know, what do you think about this matchup? You know, obviously, this is a road game for Baltimore, strong defense, Buffalo altogether. They have had a very difficult time running the football. Their entire offense against the Colts was Josh Allen as the rusher, Josh Allen as the passer. You lose Zach Moss, and you can't really get the run game going. I'm sorry. I think that plays into the favor of Baltimore in this one.
Yeah, you know, I think that's definitely a good point. The matchup's a great one for Baltimore, and a really tough one for the Bills. And I think these are the two teams, I felt this way entering the playoffs, and I still feel it this way now. These are the two teams, maybe in the entire playoffs, let alone the AFC, that have the best chance of challenging the Chiefs. I think the Bills are a perfect matchup for Kansas City, and the Ravens are playing as well as just about anyone right now. My concern there is, can the Ravens match up with the Chiefs? Because, you know, they love to blitz and Mahomes eats the blitz alive. Regardless of that, though, and my questions about how the Ravens match up with KC, I think they match up great with the Bills. Josh Allen has been playing great football recently, but we have, like, he still does some of his Josh Allen things where he tries to be a hero a little too much, and he can create a horrible mistake as a result. And while the Ravens blitz happy defense might, you know, that might be a problem for them against the Chiefs, I think it could help them against the Bills. It could lead to a crazy Josh Allen turnover or something that ends up being the difference in this one. You've also got Lamar Jackson playing at a fairly elite level right now, and a Bills defense that has struggled to stop the run. They do a great job of taking away the big plays and the explosive offenses and making you earn it. But the Ravens are the type of offense that can be highly efficient, do a long 10-play drive down the field and score a touchdown. I'm still picking the Bills because I think they are the best, most complete team remaining in the playoffs. Plus, they'll have home field advantage for what that's worth. But I think this is the game of the weekend. I think it's a total coin flip and could go either way. These teams are very talented, and it's a good matchup. Styles make fights.
Well, you know, my biggest thing too, if it is snowing in Buffalo, look, I think that it benefits Baltimore a lot more because of the fact that Buffalo has really struggled running the football on offense with Zach Moss being out with an injury. Obviously, you have Singletary there as well, who is a good option, but you can't run your entire offense through Josh Allen as a rusher and also as a passer. And that's something they struggled with a little bit with, you know, against the Indianapolis Colts, because it really boiled down towards that final minute that Phillip Rivers was leading a drive, and Josh Allen a couple of times, that defense that Indy had, they got a couple of stops. They forced the Bills to punt, and they missed out on opportunities. They were in the red zone twice. They missed out on 10 points, obviously due to going forward on fourth down, not getting it, and then missing a field goal. I mean, there was a chance Buffalo could have gotten upset last week. They were on the verge of that if Indianapolis could capitalize on a couple of those things. So I think that Baltimore right now, they're playing really good football defensively. They are very stout, very tight right now. They're going to shut down any rushing attack that the Buffalo Bills have to offer, but I also think they have the guys to match up, you know, in terms of man coverage. But you can't run man the entire game against Buffalo, because that's where Josh Allen really does excel, because of the schemes that Brian Daboll has created for Buffalo and the system that I think that Sean McDermott has really fostered a culture that will help Josh Allen succeed. So I think it's going to be the game of the week as well. I think that Baltimore is going to win it, though. I'm going to go with them. But now let's shift our focus to another AFC matchup here on the division weekend. This game is on Sunday, and it's the Cleveland Browns coming off of a big-time victory against the Pittsburgh Steelers, who they are who we thought they were, right? I always felt like they were kind of on the borderline of being that fraudulent team in a sense, and then we saw them lose three straight games and started to make a lot more sense. But now Cleveland, they have a tough road contest traveling to Kansas City Arrowhead Stadium to take on Patrick Mahomes, who has not played football in just about 2 weeks. And we talk about the bye week blues. I mean, we go back to 2012. Denver had a first round bye. The Ravens, they play in the wild card. They come to Denver, and then bam, we all know the miracle at Mile High, unfortunately. What are your thoughts on this matchup? Obviously, Baker Mayfield and the Browns offense coming off of a big win, impressive offensive performance, but now you're playing Kansas City, who we know one of the top offenses in the NFL. Which team is going to show up on Sunday?
Yeah, you know, I think that's the big question, because the Chiefs on paper are the better team, but, you know, I see the Vegas number on this one, and they're 10-point favorites, and that seems ridiculous to me. They haven't looked like a team that can beat their opponents by 10 points on a consistent basis all season. You know, the Panthers took them down to the wire. The Broncos took them down to the wire once. They aren't blowing teams out of the water, and I think it's because, you know, as talented and gifted as Patrick Mahomes is, and this offense is, and Andy Reid, and yada, 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 they are also a deeply flawed team. They aren't perfect. It's not, I don't think it's them and then the rest of the league, like, you know, we've kind of been told over and over again. I think it's really, I don't think the difference between them and the Browns is so great. And the Browns are also the type of team that is built to give this offense headaches. And the Browns have a very bad defense, one of the worst remaining in the playoffs, but they can get pressure with four. With Sheldon Richardson and, of course, Myles Garrett in that front. And that's what you need to do against the Chiefs, to at least make them earn their drives, force them to have a 10-play touchdown drive instead of a 3-play touchdown drive. And once you do that, they really aren't that elite of an offense with these long, slow, monotonous drives. When you make them earn it, we saw the Broncos having that success earlier in the year. And then the Browns have an offense that, I mean, if they play like they did last week against a much more talented defense than the one the Chiefs have, they have an absolute shot to win this game. If Baker keeps playing like he has as of late and getting that passing offense moving, it'll make attacking on the ground with Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt even easier. And so I wouldn't be surprised at all if the Browns managed to pull an upset in this one. I think they definitely cover. It's one of my favorite picks of the weekend. But I do think the Chiefs will do just enough to win in Arrowhead.
I'm on the precipice. Look, I was bold last week. I said it last week. I think Cleveland's going to beat Pittsburgh. I have a similar feeling here. We're going to see the bye week blues catch up to the defending Super Bowl champions. And I think Cleveland's going to win this one in Arrowhead Stadium. Ooh. It's going to be a big time shock, right? And I know there's Chiefs fans that listen to this podcast that just simply listen because they hate me, but I love them all for the same exact matter there. But look, I've seen this happen to so many teams, and I think it's going to happen once again here this week, especially when they're going to get some guys back in that secondary down there in Cleveland. But Broncos Country, coming up here in just a moment, we're going to do a conversation on the NFC divisional playoffs, some very exciting matchups. Before we get into that, folks, I got to tell you guys about the sponsor of today's episode, Lockdown Broncos. That's our good friends over there at betonline.ag. And we are ready for some football. You got some big NFL matchups, as we're talking about here on today's show. The NFC divisional playoff matchups are coming up with the New Orleans Saints and the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, the Los Angeles Rams, and the Green Bay Packers. And there's only one place that has you covered and one place that we trust. That is betonline.ag. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code Locked On for your 50% welcome bonus. Can the Chiefs avoid the bye week blues? Well, don't sit on the sidelines anymore and get in on the action. Don't forget to use that promo code Locked On to receive a 50% welcome bonus with your first deposit. Bet online, your online sportsbook experts. Talking here with Zach Seegers of Pro Football Network. We're getting into the conversation now on the NFC divisional playoffs. Just a reminder, folks, you could get Locked On Broncos all year long, all offseason long, on your favorite podcast provider. Make sure you guys are subscribed so you can get a brand new episode every single day. And make sure you tune in Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday. We have some awesome guests, big storylines coming up as the Broncos prepare for the new league year, free agency, the NFL draft. You get all your coverage here in one spot. And obviously, you're going to hear Zach Seegers, myself, Patrick Chiodi, and many other voices this offseason. But with that said, let's get into a conversation right now with Zach on the NFC divisional playoffs. And Saturday's matchup features the number one seed Green Bay Packers hosting the number six seed Los Angeles Rams. The Rams coming off of a big time victory against the Seattle Seahawks. And if you watch that game in that first quarter, you probably don't have any optimism or any hope that Los Angeles was going to win against Seattle because they really couldn't move the ball offensively. But we saw the defense be a difference maker, and you know this as well as I do because we watched and covered Denver back in 2015. When your offense struggles and you have the number one defense in the NFL, it makes things easier. We saw that with the Rams. When you get a pick six against Russell Wilson, that can turn the tide right there. Now, this is a game where the Packers, they also haven't played football in quite some time as well. Aaron Rodgers hasn't been on the field for 2 weeks. They've been preparing, but they're going against the number one defense in the NFL. Aaron Donald expected to play. Jalen Ramsey playing really elite football this year at the cornerback position. How do you see this game playing out?
I think it's going to go not the way people are expecting. You know, I think people are expecting the Packers to kind of roll in this one in Lambeau. Aaron Rodgers, the MVP at quarterback, going against either Jared Goff without use of his throwing thumb or John Walford after a trip to the emergency room. And I get that logic, but I'm glad you mentioned the 2015 Broncos because that's who this Rams team reminds me of. And while the defense might not be quite that historic, they do have the best defensive player in the league in Aaron Donald, one of the, you know, three or four best defensive players that have been around since Lawrence Taylor. I mean, he's unreal special. And then in the back end, you've got Jalen Ramsey, who I think is the best defensive back, safety or cornerback in the NFL today. So when you have those two guys, you have a pretty elite defense like the Rams do. They've got a great secondary surrounding Ramsey back there. Staley, one of the better defensive play callers in the league already. And then you've got a much better offense than what that 2015 Broncos unit had. Cam Akers is much better than CJ Anderson, as much as I love CJ. Sean McVay is, you know, a better offensive genius than Gary Kubiak at this stage in their respective careers. And so I think they can pull the upset here. I think they can take away Devontae Adams, force the Packers offense to be more one-dimensional, and win a low-scoring, close game by having their offense do just enough. I'd pick the Packers. But once again, I can easily see the underdog coming in and upsetting in this game. I think that, like I said at the top of the show, it's a theme that runs throughout this weekend's slate of games, and I think it's especially true here. And if they make it through this one, the Saints don't scare me in the NFC, also in the NFC side, they're favored against the Bucs. And then if you make it all the way to the Super Bowl, I think the Rams could give teams a run for their money there. I think this could be another magical 2015 Broncos-esque run.
Well, you know, the thing that I'm noticing a lot when looking at these matchups, if you look at seeding altogether for the NFC and the AFC side of things, you have the one seed versus the six seed and the two seed versus the five seed in both conferences. That's really how it went. So kind of the expectation has been some of these underdog teams have definitely advanced. Now, Tampa Bay was sitting there, obviously, at the five seed altogether. But the thing is, they played a Washington football team that won their division. So they had to travel on the road, which is crazy because Tampa Bay had the better record. And obviously, we're going to get that game here in a moment. One thing that I would urge people to consider that I'm taking a look at in this matchup, I think if the LA Rams, back before the playoffs were finalized, I said if the Rams make the playoffs, they're going to be one of the most dangerous teams in the NFL playoffs. And certainly they have been. I mean, we saw them take out a Seattle Seahawks offense that was putting up record numbers, franchise numbers that they've had. And then that number one defense came in and they shut down DK Metcalf, who has been so explosive. And now we look at Devontae Adams, his ability as a route runner, his release off the line of scrimmage, his ability to get open. And for Aaron Rodgers, who's super effective in the red zone, how many opportunities are we going to see the Packers get in that situation? You know, there's this narrative that I've thought of about this Packers team this year is which Packers team is going to show up. Is it going to be the team that's been dominating everybody, or is it going to be the team that we saw in that first matchup against the Rams, or is it going to be the team that we saw against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, where it was exciting in the first quarter, and then after that, it was all out chaos. LA has a legitimate chance. Now, how well is Jared Goff going to play this week? Obviously, you know, having a little bit more time to recover from that thumb surgery. I don't think it's going to be too much of a difference there. Probably some swelling is going to be gone in his thumb. But the offense for the Rams last year outside of Cam Akers, you know, they were able to make a couple plays through the air. But you can't make those types of mistakes against Green Bay. I'm sorry. I think that Green Bay is in a very good position here. I do think that it is going to be a close game, like you mentioned, Zach. But I'm going to go with Green Bay on this one. That's kind of where I'm going. But then again, I wouldn't be shocked if the Rams do it. You know, I'm saying it here. So not to sound like I'm trying to pick both, but my pick is Green Bay. But I wouldn't be surprised if LA comes into Green Bay and wins. So it'd be kind of like an upset special throughout the weekend here. But now let's get into our final matchup here today, Zach, and that's going to be Tampa Bay traveling on the road to take on the New Orleans Saints for the third time this season. The first matchup, week one, it was to be expected. Both teams still trying to figure things out. The second matchup, the Saints are on the road in Tampa Bay, and they absolutely embarrass Tom Brady and the Buccaneers. Do you see the same thing happening this week in the playoffs?
You know, I really don't. And I think it's actually, weirdly enough, in part because of those first two results. I think the Buccaneers are maybe not a better team, but they're right there. I mean, I think it's a hair in terms of who is the better, more complete team. Both these teams have very complete, talented, well-built rosters, and they're some of the more balanced rosters still alive in the NFL. However, the Bucs are much better at quarterback. Tom Brady ranks first. I saw a tweet from PFF today, first in yards, first in, I think, passer rating, first in PFF grade for, again, what's that worth? But it's something. Since week 14, he's playing at a very high level. Meanwhile, you've got Drew Brees, probably the worst quarterback left in the playoffs. I can't think of one I'd take the Brees over that's still alive at this point. I don't know. I'm just not a Drew Brees guy. I think the Saints, if they want to stand a chance at winning the Super Bowl, and they still don't have one. As crazy as it sounds, I think they need to put Jameis Winston in, because Taysom Hill and Drew Brees are both part of a quarterback at this time. They're not a complete NFL quarterback, and they severely handicap you from a game plan and schematic perspective in different ways. But I think they both severely limit your offense. And I don't think a severely limited offense like that can beat this Bucs team three times in a row. I just don't see it, especially a Bucs team that seems to be peaking at the right time, hitting their stride, red hot. And they were embarrassed at home last time these two teams played. I think they're going to be extra motivated in this one and come out on top.
It's going to be interesting to see, because I was watching the game against Washington, and if this Tampa Bay team plays the Saints the way that they played against Washington, the Saints are going to take it to them easily. And we forget the Saints. I mean, they have the number two ranked defense in the NFL. We talk about the Rams having the number one. The Saints have the number two. And Zach, they're a legitimate defense. They have the guys on the back end of that secondary. They have the pass rushers. Oh, the linebacker position took a hit when Quan Alexander tore his Achilles tendon for the Saints. So there's that issue right there for the Saints there. But outside of that, I just think that it's hard. The Saints, they're playing for Drew Brees. This is his final go round. And we know, Zach, watching 2015, that defense in Denver did the same thing for Peyton Manning and that Broncos offense. I think the Saints defense is going to put this game on their back, and they're going to try to lead Drew Brees to the NFC Championship next week. That's going to be my prediction. But Broncos country, NFL Twitter, we want to hear your thoughts on your predictions, your thoughts on what we had to say on our predictions and our picks for this weekend's AFC and NFC divisional playoff matchups. Be sure to check us out Monday for another episode of Lockdown Broncos as we get ready for the George Payton era in Denver. We got a lot to talk about, some of the big moves coming out on the table, plus the introductory press conference is something you can look forward to next week for this Denver Broncos football team here on the Lockdown Broncos podcast.